Welcome back to the Hits Different podcast. I'm Molly.
I'm Ryan.
And we got a double album. We listened to the first 16 songs, and then at 2 a.m., we got even more.
Yeah, and I just want the record to stand that I was correct about the two meaning so much more. And Molly and I literally were arguing days before the double album because...
Hours before.
And days, I feel yeah. like. Because initially I thought I was going to be rep, and I've been rep clowning for my whole life, it feels like, at this point. But towards the end, I was like, it's not, I don't even think it's rep. Like, there's some big surprise. It just felt bigger. I was like, we've been seeing twos from Taylor Nation and Taylor for months, and there's no way it was just like related to the Fortnite 2 week reference.
Right. Once we found out that Fortnite was the lead single, like a couple of days before the album came out, I was like, oh, all the twos make sense now. 2 weeks is a Fortnite, and that's the lead single, and that's what all the twos were for. Done, book closed, we're good.
Yeah.
And then at 2 a.m., nope. Tortured Poets Department, the anthology.
And even though I knew something big was coming, we've been theorizing about also a double album for months. And like, here we are thinking like, she's gonna drop TTBD and rep at the same time. And they're gonna be like the yin and yang. And
no. You thought that. I never thought that.
Some people thought that. The rep stands.
But I don't think anyone thought that the Tortured Poets Department would be two albums. The fact that she's been teasing this for so long, not just like the twos on the Eras Tour, Taylor's been flashing it. She flashed a two at the Grammys when she announced the Tortured Poets Department. There have been twos in the music videos. Yeah, Post Malone flashed a two during the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There are so many twos, and now we know why. Thinking back to when we listened to the album for the first time on Thursday night, I was in complete shock. Before we even knew that a second album was coming, just the original 16 tracks, I was expecting the story to be a different story. Yeah. I was expecting the story and the focal point of this album to be processing a breakup from a long-term relationship. And all of a sudden I realized that's actually not what's being processed here. And it was a little bit of whiplash for me. I was just stunned.
We had strong preconceived notions, as I feel like a lot of people did. And I mean, just from the clues that she had left alone of like, here's the vibe of the album and here's what it's gonna be. And like, here's the postmortem and all of those things. And then, yeah, it started. And not to mention the double album dropped at 2 and we knew something was coming because I think they had teased it, Taylor Nation, whatever. And we were running behind and we kept being like, come on, we have to hurry up. Like, it's almost 2 o'clock. And so we had barely even consumed the first half.
Right.
And it was like, boop, are you ready to like consume like 15 or 16 more? And no. And that's why still days later, it feels like it's been years since we first heard the album. It's literally been days. I still am like, I need to run that back and back.
And back.
Because every time I listen, it's a new experience.
Right.
Versus so many albums in the past, you would hear, like, you'd have your first listen, but then by the second one, you're like, oh yeah, that's what this song is. This is how I feel about it. It's locked in. I'm not, like, locked into how I feel about any of them because it's so ever-changing. Mm. And you're hearing it differently and, like, on, you know, when I drive home, I'm gonna hear it that way for the first time.
Right.
And just so many different ways to process.
Right. That's what I love so much about Taylor, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again because this album proves the point so well. Her music can be surface value, like a story. You know, there's a song called Peter, and on surface value, that could be about Peter Pan. But if you peel it back further, it has all these deeper meanings. And so, like, our first listen, I was just trying to process the shock of realizing this album was, like, not necessarily about the overarching heartbreak that I thought I was going to hear. And it was very different, more like rebound vibes. And she describes it as manic episodes. I'm like, that is not what I thought the album was going to be about.
Yeah.
And once I was able to process that in the first listen and then cycle back, I'm like, whoa, there are just so many different layers to these songs, so many different ways to apply them to your life. And I cannot believe that this is what she's been writing about for the last 2 years.
I would say the overarching theme and takeaway is double meaning. Mm-hmm. Everything is a double meaning. Words, phrases, meanings, what one song can encompass, two storylines, three. Like, not only do we get a double album, it's like double album, double meaning. Two is so relevant and right. Such a theme across everything.
And when we finished the first 16 songs, wow, not what I expected at all. And then starting with The Black Dog, when the anthology was released, The Black Dog was exactly what I thought the vibe of the first out part of the album would be like. Like, oh, here is the gut-wrenching heartbreak.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like the back half is a little darker and sadder, whereas the front half is some bops.
Which, because it's 31 songs, I feel like this is also the first album where I feel like all the songs could span across all of her eras. Like, there's a flavor of every album in at least one song on this album. Like, the obvious Folklore, Evermore pickups, but then there's like The Rep, and then you could even, you know, 1989, and how like the first half is more like pop, upbeat, early day stuff. And if you listen to it from start to finish, you do almost get to go through those eras almost in order.
Right.
Which is kind of, it's crazy.
It's the best of Taylor Swift is what I think we've been realizing the more we've listened to it. All of our favorite songs, All Too Well, Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, Exile, and just like the pop songs that all of them.
I did something bad, like, oh, look what you made me do, just all of it. It's all just like a mature, it's like her, she was to go back and add another song to Folklore or rewrite a song from Rep, and it's like, this is how she would do it now. Not only is Torture Poets Department seemingly the best of Taylor, all of the eras, but it also just feels like one large storybook of all of these intertwining stories. It's feels like a literal manuscript that just got like put on our desk and was like, read this. And that's why we're still processing too, because it's a thick manuscript. There's a lot to read.
Yeah, you were comparing it to Harry Potter.
I was like, if someone just dumps Harry Potter, all seven books, just says, read this in the next, like, read it and I want your report by Monday.
I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she wrote all of these songs. I still just cannot believe that she put out 31 songs while re-recording albums while being on the Eras Tour. She recorded a music video with Post Malone. So good. How did she do all of this? And we can't even absorb any of it, but we're gonna try our best.
I can't even do my laundry or the bare minimum. And I know Taylor is not the bar we should live up to, but even just like a fraction of that would be nice, you know? But her productivity level and mind is one I will never even equate to.
There's so much to unpack with all 31 tracks. There's just no way that we could do that right now because we have not had nearly enough time to listen and digest these songs.
Yeah, I still want to listen to it in so many different ways, places, capacities. I still need to learn all of the lyrics, which they're trickling in, but they're not there yet. I feel more confident once I know the lyrics and I can really, you know, vibe with it and give a better analysis.
We're going to just keep it big picture and do some superlatives. So after our first listen, what was your favorite song?
Florida.
I messed it up.
Seven in your head. We can't be.
I can't count. Florida, I did not expect to like.
It was in my top three because I'm from Florida and I was just so stoked to see my state on the track list. But then I was a little scared because of the exclamation marks, because I felt the same way when the 1989 Bolt songs came out and we saw that Slut was going to be on there and everyone was like, oh my God, this song is going to be. And
Slut with an exclamation point.
Some of you don't know, you know, that's also in a previous video. Molly and I do not agree. She's a slut stan. I just didn't think it gave what I was expecting, but it's back to the preconceived notions that kind of wrecked that for me. So anyway, Florida, Florence and the Machine, I love them. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a banger. I did not expect to what level it was going to be.
Right.
And my favorite was looking around the room when we were listening and everyone being united and being like, this is currently like it.
We were literally like, Just as soon as the song started, you're like, oh, what's happening here? And the lyrics, like, you work your life away for a timeshare in Destin. Like, bruh. It's so good.
I think you, didn't you mention, say, it was like a No Body, No Crime vibes?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's what it's reminded me of. Just where they're talking about burying bodies.
I know.
Oh, we're the Heim sisters. Who we got to call?
Right? Like, leaving the storm back in Texas to go to Florida. It's like, what storm?
Yeah.
What was your favorite song on first listen?
First listen, first 16 songs, Down Bad took the cake for sure. And then as soon as we got the 2 a.m. announcement with the anthology and we hit play on the Black Dog, it shook me. So it's the Black Dog. That is what I pictured being on this album, and I feel like it's the new All Too Well, and I can't get over it. Like, the old habits die screaming part, the modern references of, like, sharing your location with someone and things like that. It's just the perfect example of how Taylor puts such specific things into her songs that are deeply personal, but can apply to everyone. Ugh, I can still see your location because you forgot to turn it off, and now I see where you are, and now I'm going down this rabbit hole in my brain, and old habits die screaming. Like, I feel like both songs we picked have, like, these crazy moments with the beat.
Right, isn't that the song that you equated? You were like, are those the same beats?
It sounds
similar. You're
like,
are those the Florida beats?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Like,
it's not, you know?
It blew my mind. I literally jumped up out of my chair when she, I'm like, we are in Bridge City, baby.
We're back. I'm going to be controversial and say I don't think it's on the level of All Too Well, but that's not to bring it down a notch.
Okay, well, in the moment, on first listen, you said
I know, I said sprinkled. Well. No, I said check the tape. I said it has a little sprinkling.
All right.
A little bit.
Well, you know, if you've been sitting with All Too Well for a long time, the Black Dog is brand new, but yeah.
All Too Well will just, I mean, it's an elite, it's over there.
That is exactly what I thought would be on this album, and then when I got it, I was like, I feel it in my soul, even though I've never had a heartbreak that devastating ever in my life. But yeah. The way she writes about it, I can feel it.
Yeah, can relate, accurate.
Yeah.
The location sharing, I've been on the other side of that where I've been like, you don't get to see my location, we're cutting this off. But to be the one who's like looking at it and be like, oh, they didn't stop sharing it. They're back at the Black Dog. That's where we used to go.
What was your most shocking song on our first listen?
Not to be redundant about the preconceived notions, but just like the double meaning, I feel like that still plays such a role in how I absorbed this album. And looking just based on the track list, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. You see that and you're like, that sounds like it's gonna be sad and this ballad. And then you just get punched in the face and is it one of her best like pop bops ever made? I mean, maybe.
Talk about putting Swift Amin into a song.
Dude.
In the moment we were equating it to Hits Different, where you're like, the beat is so up here, but the words, I'm so depressed.
I know, everyone was like, should I cry or laugh or dance? And it's like, dude, do all the things. Once again, double meaning. Once again, Taylor Swift, it's like, all things can be true. It's like, listen to this song, and if you're having a bad day, like, you might be crying to this song and be like, I'm so depressed.
Fake it till you make
it.
And I did.
Yeah, or
light, camera, smile.
Dude, it's like so relatable. I mean, the line, I cry a lot, but I'm so productive. I mean, I want to like not even just tattoo it on my body. I just want to like embody that mantra because it's so accurate. And the amount of times that I've been like crying on the way to work and then you show up, you're like, all right, here we go. And it's
pull
not
it
even
together.
Close to the importance or effort she's putting in for the Eras tour. But I mean, again, still, it doesn't have to be that big. It's like, what does it mean to you? And man, it is the girlies anthem.
I picked I Can Do It With a Broken Heart as one of my top three because I felt like it would be just like an empowerment anthem. So I actually, while it definitely is, I also think it's super satirical of just like you're saying, I cry a lot, but I am so productive. It took the idea of what I thought it would be and blew it out of the water. It was still so much better, even though I was expecting it to be like, yeah, I can do it. It was like, I can do it. You really don't know how low I was, but I'm still crushing it trying to come for my job, okay? If you want to fight.
Yeah, take it from the believe me, I can do it to that. It's like, dang. Also, I know you'd said that you thought going into it that it was going to be about the Eras Tour.
Yes.
And I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
and then,
really?
No. And then I keep promoting it because I just feel like it still has not got enough respect yet. But if you have not watched the lyric music video that Taylor put out for this song, I mean, please go run, watch. It's like the Eras Tour part two.
The lyric video on Taylor Swift's YouTube channel, she always does these lyric videos, and sometimes she takes it the extra mile, and she for sure did with I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. It's like a satirical montage of herself at Eras to the song.
So good.
Yeah.
That editor needs a raise immediately. What was your most shocking song on the album?
It has to be But Daddy, I Love Him.
Literal shock value.
Literal actually. Shock. Literal slap me across the face, which I did in the moment.
On video, yes.
You have to go watch our reaction video if you haven't seen it yet, because we were watching it with the lyrics. And so I read ahead a little bit. So I saw the, I'm carrying his baby. I'm hearing that while seeing, no, I'm not, but you should see your faces. And I'm like, you broke the fourth wall, Taylor. You little sneaky, like, oh, you got us. She knew I'm putting this in there because all of you guys are gonna freak out and I'm gonna call you out for it. And so that shocked me to my core that she called us like that. I felt so seen.
I never actually thought of it that way until right now, because I was so lost in, because it's so applicable to the lyrics of, like, you know, her telling, like, the townspeople or the people obsessed with her relationship, like, oh, I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. Like, you should see your face. And it's like, Oh
yeah.
Literally.
She's making fun of us.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting But Daddy, I Love Him to be like a sad love ballad of, I took it very literally, of her trying to convince her parents, like, no, I love him. Like, this is what I want. And it is that, but it's way more upbeat than I was expecting. And it's also, the whole song just feels like a giant middle finger to the rest of the world and putting us in our places, ourselves included. You think you know me. You think you thought you knew what this album would be about. You think you can have an opinion on my life, but you can't. I have to make my own decisions, and you don't actually know what's going on. So zip it, because if I love him, that's all that matters.
Right, instead of it being like a pleading bargaining, which is what I thought it was gonna be like, but Daddy, please, like, I love him. Mm-hmm. Like, I need your validation and acceptance. And it's like, she was the opposite. She's like, I don't give a shit what you say. And like, literally says, what, I'm tired of all the bitching and moaning.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't care. Like, I love him and that's enough. And I'm not gonna beg you to, like, agree with me.
Yeah.
Just get over it.
To all the people who are writing think pieces about who I should be with and who you approve of, I literally don't care. Stop.
Now that you've had some time to sit with the album, you've had a few listens, what is your current favorite song?
Okay, this is literally impossible. It's so hard. There are a million lyrics and beats flowing through my brain from all of these songs. Right before we sat down to record this, I was getting ready and I'm Gonna Get You Back played. And I was like, is this my favorite off the album now? Because I've listened to it enough now to be able to start processing it in terms of my own life and seeing some parallels and things. And I can't unsee it. Like, this song encompasses certain moments in my life, except I'm the wife now, you know?
Hey.
And this is like ancient history in my life, but the way that she wrote this song, I'm just like, damn, Taylor. It took me a couple listens to get here, but it's also just such a bop. It's so catchy. The Swiftamine.
Dude. Or, like, yeah, the lyric where in another song she says, like, they say I put narcotics in my songs. And it's like, yeah.
Yes.
You've heard the rumors. They are true.
Yes.
And she was literally doing it while she was singing that. That's a side note. But so many tangents with this album.
Yes.
But that was a big moment when Molly was like, wait a second, I'm going to get you back. I'm seeing it this way. I was like, I'm so proud of you, because I'm always like, disconnect yourself from the whatever Taylor's version is of the song, and like, how do you feel about it? Mm-hmm. And it's like a light bulb. All of a sudden you're like, wait a second, she's singing about this, and all of a sudden the relatability comes in, and you're mm-hmm. like, mm.
Well, also on first listen, I was thinking about Olivia Rodrigo's song, mm-hmm. Getting Back, because I love that song too. And I feel like they are encompassing like similar vibes in the songs, mm-hmm. but Olivia's version, she's just younger. Like, I just don't relate to it as much. Like,
yeah.
And Taylor's version of that idea of, do you want to get back with this person or you want to get them back? It resonated with me hard.
I love that for you. Yeah. I'm excited to do the disconnect, which we've talked about, and like listen with new eyes that we're doing like each time we listen.
What is your favorite song now that you've been listening to it for a couple of days?
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Which I think even choosing that, I was like, huh. Because I mean, I knew it was the first time I heard that high note. I was like, come on. And then when she keeps doing it, you're like, come on. I'm being pulled for it to be my favorite right now because it's so rep coded. Mm-hmm. And like talking about the lyric videos, the font was very rep. And not to make this all about rep, I feel like Molly's always like, come on, TGPD is in a league of its own. But we talked about the eras and like this discography, like covering all of it, like Who's Afraid of Little Me could easily have been on rep. And you would have been like, oh. Like, but she wasn't that sure back then.
I don't think we could have even handled it.
I know, you're right. It would be jarring to add it now because it's on a league of its own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like years later, she's so much more mature. Her voice is insane. And it's also the best high note we've had since like Don't Blame Me. Mm. Like, or that, like, she's had a bunch, but that's like, you know, to think of her singing that song live. And I go through it from start to finish, that song. It's just so, it's so good.
And the double meanings in that song go so deep. I need to listen to that a million more times before I feel like I'll have gotten all of the layers to it. Mm-hmm. But she's just so unfiltered, it feels like. Raw emotion that you're hearing, and it's chilling.
I know, the melody and the music in it is just this so, like, foreboding feeling, and you just feel uncomfortable the whole time. And I love the ghost imagery. I'm obsessed with it, and pictures she painted with this album are just different than anything else. Like, each one has such a clear aesthetic. Like, if you were to say like draw this song, it's like it'd be kind of easy to do.
Yeah,
she's such a freaking good storyteller.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Hits Different, a Taylor Swift podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a like, follow, subscribe, rate, or review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X @ItHitsDiffPod. Bye.